We follow the order of service listed in the bulletin. The bulletin's available at goodshepherdlincoln.org, goodshepherdlincoln.org. It is the Tenebrae Vespers Bulletin. We begin with the opening versicles.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Praise to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing the introit for Good Friday.
May be seated as we sing hymn 438, A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth, hymn 438.
Thank you. The Old Testament reading for Good Friday is from Isaiah, chapters 52 and 53. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred, beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We sing hymn 451, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted, hymn number 451.
Yes.
The epistle reading is from Hebrews chapters 4 and 5. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who is able to save him from death, and he has heard because of his reverence. Though he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with hymn 440, Jesus I Will Ponder Now. We sing only verse 1. Continue with the reading of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Jesus, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with hymn 450, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. Hymn 450, verse 1. So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First, they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest, but Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. We continue with hymn 450, verse 2.
Thank you.
Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves, judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. We continue with hymn 450, verse 3. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man!" When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. We continue with verse 4. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. We continue with singing verse 5. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. We continue singing verse 6. Stand for our final reading. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. We continue with verse 7.
With the Father, Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away. Have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
We sing hymn 452, verses 1 through 5. Hymn 452, 1 through 5.
grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. The text for our Good Friday service of darkness, certainly the gospel reading that we heard, John 18 and 19, but also words from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, excruciating. It is excruciating. I have heard that word, that term, that phrase more often in the last 3 weeks, I believe, than I have in my entire life. The start of Major League Baseball has been postponed. Fans everywhere. It is excruciating that I can't watch the national pastime. Oh, the thought of having a shorter season or 7-inning games, it's excruciating. Here in Nebraska, people are lamenting as well. What do you mean the college football season may be postponed? What do you mean my beloved Huskers may not play? What do you mean the games may be played in front of empty stadiums? I can't bear the thought. It is excruciating. What do you mean no summer youth sports? What do you mean no family vacation wherever I choose? What do you mean social distancing or rule of 10 may last into the summer? I can't bear the thought. It is excruciating. I can't leave my house whenever I want to. I have to wash my hands or socially distance or abide by a rule of 10. Do you realize that what that does to my personality? I'm a people person. It is excruciating to abide by these rules. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you've felt it. Maybe you've said it. That word, excruciating, is especially important for us to ponder on Good Friday. The word excruciating literally means from the cross or out of the cross. You want to know what excruciating is? Excruciating is what we see on Good Friday. There is no more agonizing, gory, brutal, ugly way to die than death by crucifixion. It is the very epitome of cruel and unusual punishment. Torture, shame, public display. It is literally excruciating. It is deliberately meant to be the most slow, painful death imaginable. It was the Roman preferred method of death, execution. For criminals, yes, for the lowest of the low, no Roman citizen could be put to death by crucifixion, but slaves sure could. Anybody who didn't really matter and yet was a part of society. There were really four parts to crucifixion. First, you had to have a trial. Then there was a flogging, a public beating. Then the individual had to carry their own cross to the spot of execution. And then the crucifixion itself. Crosses with people hanging, screaming out in agony, lined the roads, usually by the city gate. It was meant to be a public deterrent to crime. You got the message very quickly. Obey or end up like this. Obey or you're next. Amazingly, it was a vital component to the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. It became a common occurrence. People looked forward to it. It became kind of a blood sport. And the more people saw it, the more they loved it. The more they participated in this blood sport, the more the blood lust grew and grew and grew inside of them. Today, we don't like to think much about the blood and gore and agony and pain of crucifixion. Crucifixion, the crucifixion of Jesus, is the ultimate manifestation of God's law. God's cup of wrath poured out on sin is poured out on Jesus. It is God's intention that Jesus would die by crucifixion. It is God's will that Jesus would die this horrific, ugly, agonizing, gory death. And it is this agonizing, gory death that Jesus willingly submitted to save us, to save you. God's plan and purpose was to save the world. God's plan and purpose to save the world was through the brutal, agonizing crucifixion of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross for you, for me, and for the life of the world. So today, we meditate and we ponder on the cross. The Apostle Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. We see crosses all around, don't we? Jewelry, clothing. People, not only Christians, but people everywhere adorn a cross. And there's nothing wrong with wearing a cross, but for many people, wearing the cross is no sign or symbol of their faith. For many people, it's just the opposite. The sign of the cross is folly, is foolishness, is meant to mock and deride you, dear Christian. In 1857, archaeologists uncovered the first and earliest known depiction of a crucifix. It's really quite famous. You can do a simple Google search for Alexander worships his God. You want to know what the early Romans thought of Christianity, thought of Jesus? Depicted in this graffiti, now hanging in a museum, depicted on this graffiti is a human body on the cross with a donkey head, making fun of Christians. Yes, they worship a donkey. They worship an ass. Their worship is foolishness. The Jews would do the same thing. Deuteronomy 23 says, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." My friends, there is nothing new under the sun. People hear of Jesus, they laugh and they mock and they ridicule. Oh, they might concede Jesus as a good man or a moral leader, but the Son of God, that's a joke. Dying a once and for all sacrificial death on Calvary's cross, that is foolishness. You worship a donkey. My friends, today, as we ponder all that our Lord and Savior has done, an excruciatingly painful death on Calvary's cross. Today, God calls us to repent. To repent of our false gods, to repent of our foolish way of thinking that somehow anything that we do or feel or experience is comparable to what Jesus endured on this day. My friends, why was Jesus crucified on Calvary's cross? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus shed his blood on Calvary's cross for the life of the world. Jesus shed his blood on Calvary's cross for you and for your salvation. You see, there's a problem with our blood. Our blood is sick. No, I'm not talking about the sick blood that one of our vicars had a few years ago. A blood sickness called cancer. Or specifically, the blood sickness that is cancer of the blood, leukemia. I'm not talking about a plague that would affect our blood, like the bubonic plague or coronavirus. No. When our blood gets sick, we take medicines, we get a vaccine or a shot, maybe even a transfusion, but that only delays the inevitable, right? Our blood is sick in a different way. Our blood is sick with sin. And the wages of sin is death. There is no social distancing that can keep you from the death caused by your soul sick sin. There is no vaccine that you can take. There is no way that you can exclude yourselves, quarantine yourselves from its benefit or its repercussions. My friends, no human effort of any kind can cleanse our blood. That's why Jesus came. That's why God sent Jesus. Jesus, whose blood is holy. Jesus, whose blood is perfect. Jesus, the Lamb without spot or blemish, has perfect blood because Jesus was born by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Virgin Mary. Jesus was born without sin. Jesus, God in the flesh, has holy, perfect blood. Blood that cannot die, right? Jesus and his perfect blood lives a perfect life. Jesus committed no sin, not once, not ever. But here's the problem with Jesus' blood. As long as that blood stays inside of Jesus, it does you no good. As long as that holy, innocent, precious blood stays in his body, it does nothing for the life of the world. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus freely and willingly offers his blood as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. From the first drop of blood shed by Jesus in his circumcision to the last drop of blood that oozed out of his dead body as he hung suspended between heaven and earth on Good Friday, Jesus sheds his blood for you. We heard it in our text, didn't we? The crown of thorns rammed down on his head. The beating where the blood oozes from the wounds on his back and on his chest. Jesus, nailed to Calvary's cross, bleeding from his hands and his feet. Jesus, stone cold dead, with a spear pierced into his side, flowing out water and blood. Jesus sheds his blood, his holy, precious, innocent blood for you. My friends, God cannot die, but Jesus, true God and true man, has died for you. Shed his blood, his holy, precious blood for you. And it is the most wonderful divine mystery that the world has ever seen. Today we see once again, as if for the first time, God's great love for this world. There are many who could not care less. There are many who will laugh and joke and mock Christians and their God. And you know what? God has even died for them, shed his blood for them. Shed his blood for poor, miserable sinners like you and me, who all too often take for granted what Jesus endured this day so many years ago for our forgiveness, for our salvation, for our eternal life. My friends, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Rejoice. Christ has shed his blood once and for all. Christ has shed his blood for you. It is finished. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. During this time of suspended worship, we take this opportunity to thank you for joining us on the radio, on the internet, via YouTube, the many ways that are available to worship now. We pray that God would drive this pestilence from our midst, and we would be able to return to the corporate worship of God's house, in God's house, for so many people, a true, painful absence. We thank the members of Good Shepherd for continuing to remember us and support us during this time. You can mail your offering envelopes in or drop them in the mail. We thank you to those who have encouraged us and supported us outside of our fellowship as well, and remind you to continue to support your home congregation during these difficult days. All of our scheduled worship services will be broadcast in the various forms that are available. You can check out our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, for a current and complete listing. The Triduum, the 3 days, continues tomorrow evening, 6 p.m., with our Easter Vigil. We celebrate the joy of the resurrection on Sunday, 6 a.m., 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We pray that God would richly bless us with the flow of blood from Jesus that covers over all of our sin and drives away all of our fear. Our service continues with hymn 454, Sing My Tongue the Glorious Battle. Hymn 454.
Thank you.
continue with the prayers as they're listed in our bulletin. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, graciously behold this, your family, for whom our Lord was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men to suffer death upon the cross. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross, and so remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive the forgiveness of sins and redemption from everlasting death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.